This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. Since the reinstatement of the death penalty in 1976, Texas has easily led the rest of the nation in the number of executions, 537, six of those in 2016 alone. Running counter to that narrative and certainly less well known is this fact. Texas leads the nation in exonerations. Since 1989, the earliest year for data, there have been 241 exonerations in Texas. New York places second with 208. Some credit social media with keeping some of these cases in the public eye, stories of the wrongfully convicted that might otherwise have been forgotten. But a new rule issued by the Texas Department of Criminal Justice seeks to silence the social media profile of prisoners, prohibiting not just prisoners themselves from having access, but forbidding family, loved ones, and advocates on the outside from maintaining social media accounts on their behalf. It's a story reporter Jordan Smith has been following. She writes for The Intercept. Jordan, welcome to The Standard.
Thank you for having me.
So what exactly is this new rule, and where does it come from?
Well, the new rule just sort of appeared as far as inmates and their families figured out recently in a revision to this sort of guidebook that has rules for all inmates in TDCJ. And it was sort of pumped in between rules that require you to be polite and one that requires you not to roughhouse with others. And it basically says that inmates are forbidden from maintaining any social media accounts by a third party or otherwise. And that's key because Texas prisoners do not have direct access to the internet. Mm-hmm. So by definition, they all have to be maintained by people on the outside. And those people, also by definition, of course, are not under the supervision of TDCJ.
Yes, exactly. That it made me wonder, it's common for prisoners not to have many of the rights that that others on the outside have. Nothing guarantees, as you point out, the right to access a computer or a smartphone. But what authority does the Department of Criminal Justice have over their loved ones or advocates on the outside? How does that not violate their free speech rights?
Well, that's really the question. They don't have any right to control the behavior of people on the outside because we're not under the supervision of the agency. And I think that the courts have actually been pretty harsh when it comes to rules or sort of laws that try to constrain the free speech of people on the outside. But the TDCJ says they can do this because Facebook, for example, has rules against third-party access. But that's not exactly true. So it's very hard to see how a court would think that this was okay.
But let's take a hypothetical. Let's say you have a group that's opposed to the death penalty, right? And they have a Facebook account. They're talking up the story of someone they think is wrongfully convicted. Would, at least in theory, this rule come into play?
Well, yeah, exactly. It would, because they could have a Facebook page could be the person's name, the inmate's name, and then there that would run afoul of TDCJ's rule. Now, what they could do, the way that they say that they would punish the people on the outside is prevent them from corresponding or from visiting with inmates, which is pretty harsh for a lot of these people. Considering the death row inmates, you know, who don't have a lot of contact, that would be particularly cruel, it seems to me, in some ways. But, you know, again, like you say, it's would force them to take down sites that they think are critical to maintaining awareness, particularly with wrongful convictions, and also, frankly, with prison conditions and other such things like that. Those are the real sort of ways that you connect with the outside. I would also note that TDCJ has made it clear that this rule does not apply to blogs and websites. And so to me, it really seems like a solution in search of a problem, because a lot of the information that's maintained on prisoner blogs and websites, again, maintained by third parties, is the same kind of information that is maintained on the Facebook pages. So if the information is exactly the same on each...
What's the point?
But this, what is the point?
But let me ask you something. We're out of time, sure. But I have to understand. I guess I don't understand what the impetus was behind the rule in the first place. What is it that that corrections officials are concerned about when it comes to social media?
Well, in a way, that's pretty unclear. We've asked them that. We're still waiting to find out specifically what kind of problems they've had. They say it's that there are certain inmates who have been violating, improperly using this stuff, intimidating witnesses, trying to sell things, sort of what we call murderabilia. But the thing is, I would note, and the courts have been clear about this, where a rule like this impacts everybody, if there are actually rules in place already that would target specific offenders, then this sort of blanket rule has been considered unconstitutional. And in fact, TDCJ already has rules against intimidating witnesses and selling murderabilia, all other things. So it seems like a pretty unnecessary and arbitrary rule.
Well, it will be interesting to see if someone actually brings a formal legal challenge and how that's decided. Jordan Smith writes for The Intercept. Jordan, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.